Amen, amen. Go ahead and be seated. I want to talk to you just a little bit, and then when I read my single verse of scripture for our text this morning, I'll ask you to stand again. Winter fire was wonderful. It was just love others was the theme. And as a church, we just will not fulfill God's plan if we don't love others. Amen. It's absolutely true. Amen. So we will be getting in the near future some recordings of the, or at least a link to the winter fire services. If you are interested in seeing any of those services, come and see me or my wife or Brother Dyke. And we can, in the near future, point you to where you can see those events. It's awesome. Also, I'd like to, our leaders, if you're a usher or a Sunday school worker or a prayer coordinator or leader of any sort in our church, tomorrow night after our prayer time, I'd like to have a short little meeting in the fellowship hall about the things going forward. So a leadership meeting after prayer tomorrow. And I want to announce to our congregation that we did have our annual business meeting on Wednesday, and there it was something. I thank God for our trustees, for our leadership, and for our congregation. We did adopt 3 new resolutions to our constitution and bylaws, and well, just before I tell you the outcome of there, there was a couple of questions on, well, who gets to vote, and you know, how do you get to vote? Well, in our church, if you show up at church and you attend here, you're entitled to the services of our church. Amen. We'll marry you and bury you, and you know, we'll under the guidelines of the Bible, okay, so, but voting is another thing, and how you get to be a voting member is you have to read our constitution and bylaws, which summary of that document basically says you agree with the apostolic doctrine of our church, that you will cooperate in good faith and participate in the church, that you will attend services, that you will support financially, and that you'll be faithful in the kingdom of God. Amen. And practice those things that are in Scripture. So that's basically what a voting member is. And for more details on that, you are invited. If you're interested in being a voting member, then please come and see me. There was some question on who could vote, and you can pin it on me if your name was on that list and it didn't get on that list this time. Well, our treasurer and secretary are under my direction and the direction of our constitution and bylaws, and those individuals that maintained coming and being faithful were all on the list. But if people didn't come for a long period, or they didn't, you know, if something happened, life happens, well, then your name would have been removed from the list, but it certainly can be put back on. So I encourage our congregation to be voting members, which are a part of the body of Christ. So if you've got more questions on that, please come and see me. Now, the 3 resolutions they were all ratified. They were proposed by me. They were developed by our trustees, and they were ratified by our voting membership last Wednesday. The 3 resolutions are, there is now in our constitution and bylaws the office of bishop. So when in the future I retire from being pastor, when I retire from being senior pastor, which that's the next resolution, or the 2 resolutions away, When I retire from the place of being pastor in this church, there is an office that we're going to call bishop, which would allow me to continue to minister. And it is my desire to be here in this house of worship till I die, till I go home to be with Jesus. Amen. I don't have any intention of ever going away. So that position was put there and agreed to by our congregation to allow me to continue to minister. So praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Thank you so much. The next resolution was to allow a temporary addendum to our constitution and bylaws. And that temporary addendum is for a transition plan for a short period of time, 2 years, in which that we will transition to a new pastorate would be invoked and I would become bishop. And the third resolution was that temporary addendum. And the temporary, it's not permanently in our bylaws, but for a two-year period, I now have and been ratified to be the senior pastor of our local assembly. Praise the Lord. So I got to... I received a promotion from pastor to senior pastor. thank you very much. And Brother Darren Dyke, who previously had been recognized as the assistant pastor, has now changed that title to pastor. So we have a pastor, Brother Darren Dyke, which, go ahead. He is now recognized in our congregation as pastor, and I am recognized as senior pastor. So praise the Lord. That's the 2 year transitional period for Brother. And at the conclusion, or during probably the end part of that two-year period, we'll have an installation service, and you'll be well aware of it. We'll have it prepared ahead of time. It will be a time to celebrate the advancement of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. I'm very excited about it, and thank you, Apostolic Lighthouse. Praise the Lord. Now for all the announcements. Let's go to the Word. Amen. Would you stand with me? Do all that talking before I even read my... Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20, just one verse. It says this, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Amen. My topic today is rock solid promises. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, we ask even now in the name of Jesus. We know, Lord, that the promises and the word of God are sure, that they are established, Lord. They're given by God himself. And Lord, we can trust, Lord, in your word. We can trust, Lord, in your promises. And I ask even now that you would open my words to say of your kingdom, to say of your promises, and open our hearts to receive it, Lord. Open our understanding to know of your promises. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, your will to be accomplished in us, even right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Now, I didn't count them personally, but I have read that there are some 3,573 promises made by God written in the Bible. So there are a lot of promises. A lot of those promises have already come to pass. Amen. And the promises that are yet to be will be because they're promised by God. Amen. The promises of God are true. Amen. And it would be pretty tough to preach on 3,573 promises. We could be here a very, very long time. So let me start by listing just 10 of those promises. I'd like to do that. Amen. We read 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 from the King James Version, but another version, 2 Corinthians 1, 20, the same verse from the Complete Jewish Bible, another version, it says, "For however many promises God has made, they all find their yes in connection with Him. That is why it is through Him that we say amen when we give God," or when we give glory to God. Amen. 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 The promises of God are true. Amen. Praise the Lord. The English version of that very same verse, or my interpretation, if you will: if God said it, it's rock solid. You can believe it. You can know that it's true. Amen. Praise the Lord. God does not, will not ever lie. His word is true. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? If you never learn anything else, if you don't learn or don't get anything else from what I'm saying today, know this: God cannot lie. You can put your finger on the page in the Bible. It is true because God said it. Amen. The Word of God is true. It's established. It will come to pass. Amen. They are not conditional promises, as some are. Well, if you do this and that and the other, well, then you get this. If you come to work on time and do your job good, you might get a raise. Well, maybe that wasn't called for. Well, there's been times I've done a real good job and I didn't get a raise. In fact, everybody around me, the whole company, didn't get a raise. You know, the company was in a strait. They were in a tough way. And they said they couldn't give raises that year. Well, it was conditional. God's promises are not conditional, they are true. God's promises are true. He cannot lie. He cannot change his mind. Sometimes people make a promise and then they change their mind and then they don't do what they said they would do. And then the promise comes out to not be true. If you could follow what I just said. That was tough for me even to say. But it's, God's promises are not conditional. He cannot lie. He cannot change his mind. He cannot compromise his own word. He cannot fail. His promises are rock solid. They are for sure. They are yes and amen. Take a moment and think about what it means, what that means to have rock solid promises. All of the promises of God, every word in the Bible, are yes and amen. It means God does not make empty promises. God does not make worthless promises. God does not make vain promises. God does not make powerless promises. God does not make tentative promises. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. So what is the difference between a tentative promise, such as one the world would give you, such as one you might get from a buddy or a friend or a parent, a promise from a secular human individual? What's the difference between that tentative promise and a promise given by God? A rock solid promise. A tentative promise is uncertain. I think I'm going to get a raise. I hope I get a raise. A tentative promise is made with the possibility of change or of failure. Maybe it'll come to pass, and sometimes it won't. A tentative promise is often dependent on conditions or on circumstances. If you do a good job, if you come to work on time, if the company's doing good, if we make money at the corporate level, if things are still beyond your control. God's promises, the only condition on God's promises is that if God said it, that's the condition, then it's true. It's true because God said it. Amen. On the other hand, a rock solid promise is firm. It's unchanging. It's for sure. A rock solid promise is guaranteed. A rock solid promise will be kept regardless of the challenges, regardless of the world condition, regardless of our own ability to keep our end. God's promises are rock solid. They're dependable. They're unwavering. Now, there's a lot of promises God made. And God keeps his promises. So in the attempt to highlight some of these promises, there's 10 here I hope to get to. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means if I choose to serve the Lord, if I choose to worship him, nothing on earth can make me change my mind. Nothing on earth can change God's love for me. That God's love will be there all the time. It's a rock solid promise. God loves people that seem to be unlovable. God still loves them. Amen. The promise from this verse, nothing. Dot. Period. Nothing. No ifs, no maybes, no mights, no buts. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nobody. God always has. God does right now. And God forever will love us. God loved us before we knew him. It is the love of God that draws us unto him. God loves us. Dot. Put a period. It's for sure. You can know God loves you. Number two, a promise. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. We do one thing that is clearly within our ability. Oh, excuse me. Forgot to read the verse. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, that's our part. We got to confess. If we confess our sins, that's called repentance. Amen. If we ask God to forgive us, if we forgive, God will forgive us when we repent. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We take one step toward God. God takes four steps in us. God does more in us than we do in our own selves. The promise here, we do the one thing that is clearly within our own ability. We do one thing for God. We confess, we repent, we turn to God. And God, in turn, does more for us. He does four things. He's faithful, He's just, He forgives, He cleanses. God does the things that only God can do. Amen. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it without God. We need God. It's a promise. Confess your sins. God will take it from there. Amen. Number three, promise number three. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The promise. God will never leave you. You know, a parent can get really, a child can get really scared if their parent disappears. Or a parent can get really scared if a child disappears. You know, you can be in a big crowd and the kid gets a little bit ahead of you and, you know, they're shorter and weave between the crowd. Where'd they go? Or vice versa. Mom and dad get busy walking down the hallway and the kid gets distracted and pretty soon they're separated and the one don't know where the other is and they can cause some panic or get a little anxious. If it goes on for very long, your anxiety turns to fear. Where's my parents? Where's my child? God will never leave you. God loves you. God will be with you. He does not ever leave us. Amen. He's as close as the mention of His name. He's right there with you. He's right there for you. God is always present with you, no matter the circumstances, no matter what trouble you get your life into, no matter what circumstances come upon you, no matter what comes or what goes, no matter your weaknesses or faults, no matter the conditions in this world, no matter what happens, God is with you. He will not forsake you. God will not abandon you or stop caring for you, even when we have the ups and downs in life. And yes, we do. Yes, we get hurt. Yes, there's problems. Yes, there's perhaps a death in your family. Yes, there's things that come and go. And yes, life has ups and downs. But through it all, God is with us. God will see you through. Amen. It's a promise. Amen. I can feel Him in this place. I can feel Him when I need Him. I know that He's there. Amen. Promise number 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The promise in this messed up, backward thinking, hate-filled, tumultuous world, in the place we live, God is our peace. There's anxiety going on in our world today because of the actions that are going on right now as we speak. You know, there could be catastrophic military actions that could go on and who knows where. It perhaps might be unlimited what things could happen. I have no idea. But I do know this, that God is with us. Amen. That God is for us. That God is my peace. I don't have to be anxious. We've had end time Bible studies, and we've studied the book of Revelation and the end times prophecies of the Bible concerning our day. And when you look at those prophecies in details, it shows me that God is in control. What God said in His Word would happen, it's happening. And what God said He will do, I believe, in fact, I know because it's in His Word, that He will do what He says. God is my peace. You want to have peace in your mind? You need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus to give you His peace. Amen. God is our peace. It's a promise from God. Promise number 5, Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. A whole bunch of people will know this verse. And we know it's one of my favorite verses. And we know that all things, somebody say all. The little things, the big things, the things you can control, and the things you can't control. Everything, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, in our natural mind, that's hard to understand. You mean it's the will of God that our storefront church's building's roof is caving in and the water's pouring down and they've condemned the building and we can't have church anymore in that building? Well, it seemed like a catastrophe at the time. But it was the will of God. He had to get us out of one place to put us in another. You know, sometimes God does things that are unexpected in our lives. Sometimes God does things or things happen in our life that we had no idea was going to happen. But God says all, someone say all. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. I tell you, I know that God has put a calling on my life. I know that God is for me, that He's with me, that God will supply the need, that God will make the way, that God's ways are higher than my ways. I don't always understand it. I don't always know what's going to happen. I don't always know which way to go. But every time, if I'm following God, it works out for good to them who are the called according unto His purpose. You want things to work out in your life? Serve the Lord, and God will bring you through to the place that God wants you to be. Amen. It's an awesome verse of scripture. It's a promise made by God, and God keeps His promises. That was number five. Number six. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The promise here, the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. Upon this rock. You know what that rock is? That rock is the revelation, the understanding, the knowing that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. Amen. The revelation of the name of Jesus Christ. I know who God is. I'm not confused. There's no matter what the world says, I'm not confused on who God is. I know who God is. His name is Jesus Christ. It's a rock. And nothing the world can say or do is going to change God's word. God is Jesus. There's not a devil in hell that can prevail against God's church. Cannot happen. You know, don't believe what Hollywood puts out. Don't believe what people might say. Don't believe when they try to persuade you that hell is more powerful. No, it's not true. If you read the back of the book, we win. Amen. There is a place that God has prepared for us. There is, amen, a glorious home for us. Amen. There is a day of reckoning coming. Amen. And God will take His bride, the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Devil can't stop it. The world can't prevent it. Nothing can happen but God's plan coming to pass. Amen. It's a promise. It's rock solid. It's going to happen. Amen. Promise number seven. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Take one and eight want to come out. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, in our very fast-paced, busy world, and there are I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that wakes up early to rush to this place to get that done, to go to the other, and then get done with that and hurry to the next place so that I can get, and then at night I fall down snoring asleep. Man, I'm exhausted from my day. I go from one thing to the other, and perhaps you do too. Perhaps your day is so full that you labor and you get weary. You feel heavy laden. But here's the promise by God. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Is anybody here busy? Three, four people are busy. Oh, maybe more. Well, for those that are busy, this is a promise for you. God will give you rest. When I worship the Lord, when I magnify God, when I lift Him up, He lifts me up. He is my rest. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I feel better. I feel more invigorated. I feel stronger. I feel better when I worship the Lord. He is both our rest and are refreshing. You see, coming to church is important for lots and lots of reasons. But if you're busy, I hope you won't say, I'm too busy to go to church. Because you're going to get worn down by the world. You're just going to get wore out by this society. You can be as busy as you can be, and I'm telling you what, it's never all going to get done. You know what our world wants to do to people who are busy? They want to give more things to the busy people. No matter what you get done, the world wants to put more on you. But when I worship the Lord, when I enter into His gates, when I come to church, when I magnify God, when I put Him first, He, Jesus, becomes my rest. He's my strength, my joy. It's where we find the refreshing. Don't skip church because you're busy. Amen. Come to church to get the power you need, the refreshing you need to keep going in your life. Are those heaters on up there, Andre? Are they turned off? Okay. We turned heaters on because it was cool in here earlier. And it's not cool anymore. It's warm. Well, praise the Lord for warm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number 8. Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I love His promises. And this is an especially great one. The promise I declare unto you on this Sunday morning, there is no weapon, there's a lot of weapons being used today, there's no weapon that any enemy can even conceive that will work against you as a child of God. None of the weapons of our enemy works against the child of God. God is on our side. The world wants to use all kinds of stuff. Media and whatever. You name it. The world wants to stamp out your belief in God. Your trust in God. But I tell you what, when you believe God, God will see you through. The enemy's devices, the enemy's weapons, the enemy's tricks, the enemy's ploys, they will not work. When you know the Word of God, when you know the God of gods, when you know who God is, when you know the truth, you can spot a lie. You'll know that, no, I'm not, I don't believe it. I don't believe that lie because the Word of God says something else. I believe God. It's a promise. Number 9, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a promise. The gift of the Holy Ghost is the greatest gift that God has ever given to mankind. It's the greatest gift that has ever been given. It's the greatest gift ever conceived. Healings come in the name of Jesus. Miracles come in the name of Jesus. Blessings are also gifts from God. God has blessed my home. God has blessed me on my job. God has blessed us in this house of worship. God has blessed our congregation. God's done really good stuff for us. God provided every need we have. God got us out of a jam when we couldn't get ourselves out of the jam. But better than all of that, better than having a heater working on a cold day, better than having your needs met in your home, better than getting a healing in your body, better than getting a blessing on your home, is receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. That gift is better. It's amazing. And it's a rock solid promise from God. Amen. Number 10, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I believe that's Uncasville, Connecticut. It's right here where we are today. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The promise is your body literally becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit, no, God is everywhere, all the time, every place, all at once. But that omnipresent Spirit is not just present around us. When we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that presence of God, the Spirit of the Lord, comes in us. Meaning the power of the Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator of the universe, lives inside of us. I tell you, the Holy Ghost gives us power over sin. Maybe you had problems before, but when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you will have power to overcome sin. Amen. Power. You know, we live in a fearful world, but the power of the Holy Ghost will give us power over fear. You don't have to be afraid. Maybe you're sick in your body. I'm telling you, there is healing for sickness in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power over temptation in the name of Jesus. Power over the flesh. Power over death. Power over demonic forces. In the name of Jesus. And we receive the name of Jesus when we receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now that was 10 promises. I got just a few moments, few minutes left. Musicians, come on up. That was 10 rock solid promises out of 3,573 that I've been told exist. But one last promise I want to highlight before I conclude today. We have the promise of salvation.
Yes. Yes.
And it is available to us today just as it was in the days that the Bible was being written. Amen. Just as it was in the book of Acts. Just as it is in the New Testament church. Just like it's written in the Bible, it's available to us today. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse number 36. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now the Jews that were there on that day also witnessed the death of Jesus on the cross. You see, it was the Jews that were proclaiming, "Give us Barabbas! Crucify him!" Referring to Jesus. And they were guilty. They were there. They felt bad about it. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do when we hear the preaching of the Word of God and we hear that Jesus is our Savior and God wants to save us? If we're not living right before God, it ought to prick us in our heart. There ought to be something inside of us that stirs, that asks the question, well, I see what they did, but what do I have to do? It's a great question that every one of us really should come to. Every one of us should have already come to this place. And if you haven't, you can do it right now. You can ask the same question, what do I have to do? Verse number 38, then Peter, he gives him a very straightforward, short answer. Peter said unto them, repent. Ask God to forgive you. And don't just stop there. Don't just ask God to forgive you. That's a great start. That's what we need to do. It's a part of the process. Yes, it's necessary, but don't stop there. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. You mean, even if my daddy was a preacher?
Yep.
Even if I've been going to church for a long time?
Yep.
Even if this or that or the other number of things? You know, people have all kinds of excuses. Throw the excuses out and just believe the Word of God. Just believe, hear what it says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, if you haven't been baptized like this, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a whole bunch of people that get baptized and they don't use the name Jesus Christ when they get baptized. You see, this is the biblical formula for baptism. It's how we're instructed, it's how we're directed by Scripture to be baptized. in the name of Jesus Christ. Then it tells us why. For the remission, for the payment. Isn't that awesome? Jesus Christ had this plan, and he fulfilled the plan on the cross at Calvary. He died. He was persecuted to death. They killed him on the cross at Calvary. And in doing so, he took our sin upon him. By his stripes we are healed. That's true. That's in Scripture. But in the name of Jesus, by his blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary, it was that sacrifice. His blood that was shed is the sacrifice for sin. In the name of Jesus, that sacrifice is applied to us for the remission, the payment. That's what remission means, payment of sins. Jesus paid for our sins, and that payment is made at baptism. For the remission of sins, and I'm so happy for that and. I'm so happy it didn't end right there, because it says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Get this, I've been talking about promises. Verse number 39, my very favorite verse in the Bible, it says, for the promise. Someone say promise. We've been talking about promises now for 40 minutes. The promise here is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's the promise. God's not changing his plan. It's in his word. It's for us today. Would you stand with me? The musicians are going to play and they're going to sing. The promise here is to forgive sins, to have our sins removed by the name of Jesus in baptism, and to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is God's plan for salvation. Do you need a miracle today? You can call on a promise from God. I'm asking you, would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voice? In fact, I'm inviting you to come up around this altar. Let's magnify God together. God will fulfill his promises in your life today. You can put your faith and trust in God. You can walk down this altar and reach out to the Lord, and he will meet your need. Let's love him. Let's magnify God. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Let's worship the Lord together right now.
A tree.